From the IT Lab Studios, my name is Kate Golden.
And my name is Rodrigo Leal. And you are listening to the iSchool Weekly Update. Here's what's going on for the week of February 5th, 2018.
Tuesday, February 6th. The LBJ School of Public Affairs will be hosting NGA Director Robert Cardillo on U.S. Intelligence in Base Lecture Hall from 5:15 to 6:30 p.m. Light refreshments will be provided. The Austin History Center invites you to the opening of its newest exhibit, Clearing Stones and Sowing Seeds, photographs from the Travis County Negro Extension Service on February 6th at 6:30 p.m. The photographs, taken between 1940 and 1964, document the variety of services and educational programs offered by the Extension Service, including animal husbandry, crafts, domestic education, gardening, and agriculture and home improvement. The Austin User Experience Professional Association is hosting Improving UX for Impact, Data and Design in Healthcare from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Indeed's office. More information can be found on the Austin UXPA Meetup group page. Wednesday, February 7th. The Career Development Office is hosting a speed interviewing event and networking reception from 5 to 8 p.m. in the first floor of UTA. Appetizers will be served and RSVPs are required. Thursday, February 8th. iSchool Pride and ALA/TLA-UT will be hosting a coffee and conversation hour at 7 p.m. For information on the location, check out The Insider or the ALA/TLA-UT Facebook page. All are welcome to attend. Friday, February 9th. The iSchool website redesign team is hosting Hack Night in the IT Lab at 3 p.m. If you're interested in joining the iSchool website redesign team and gaining experience in web development, come on by. There will be pizza and other refreshments. For more information, check out The Insider. If you have an event that you would like to share with members of the iSchool community, email us at iSchoolWeeklyUpdate@gmail.com with a short description. We are more than happy to share them with our listeners. My name is Peace Iwade, and this was your weekly update. Catch me on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/masterpiece records, or peep my website, peaceiyi.github.io/masterpiece. Thank you.
Up next is an interview Rodrigo had with Alan Garcia, a fellow Purple Shirt and new student to the iSchool. He's the very first student we've had on the show, and they had a conversation about Alan's experience curating, both for cultural institutions and in the digital realm.
So today is January 31st, 2018, and we are here with Alan Garcia. Alan is a first-year, first-semester student to the School of Information. Alan, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Alan Garcia from here in Austin. Just joined the iSchool, but I'm not new to UT. I was here for undergrad. I graduated in 2014. I was studying anthropology here at UT. And I had the dream of being an archaeologist, digging and, you know, traveling to Mexico, Guatemala, which I would still like to do. But decided to come to the iSchool and study archiving, preservation, you know, museum studies, stuff like that.
Quick tidbit. When I was a kid, I wanted to be like the guy who digs up dinosaur bones.
Yep.
As most kids.
Yeah, as most kids. No, yeah. I did a lot of backyard digging, you know, for fossils and stuff.
Did you find any?
I found some stuff. Random shells, you know, limestone basically, so nothing like Jurassic Park or anything.
Right. Ditto. Once I never found, you know, like a brontosaurus bone, that's when the dream ended.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Here we are. I think I want to start out with a discussion of your now very popular Instagram entitled ATX Barrio Archive. It's at over 4,000 followers. Apparently it's only been around for like half a year.
Pretty much, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about it? I'm sure you could provide a much clearer picture on what it is.
Sure. It's an Instagram page that shares history of Austin neighborhoods, mainly Black and Latino neighborhoods of Austin. It's part archival research and part family photo sharing. So people through Instagram, through email, sending family photographs from their neighborhood, wanting to tell a story about where they grew up. And the other side is finding photos in the archive that are relevant to, you know, East Austin, South Austin, neighborhoods that don't really get a lot of exposure or that, you know, you don't see marketed as much or they're not considered as iconic of Austin. So finding those in the archive and sharing them with people that would recognize landmarks in the photos, businesses, families, street names. And it started just as a way to create a little digital museum about these neighborhoods, about the barrio, you know, something working class, neighborhoods that, you know, you don't see very many exhibits dedicated to a working class community or working class history. There aren't a lot of museums in Austin also, I think, that focus on that. I mean, art museums or just history museums is very larger in focus, doing something small scale to focus on the Mexican restaurants, you know, the barbecue joints back in the day, the old bands they would play on the east side, social movement history too of Austin that's kind of underdocumented, underappreciated. So just cramming it all into one page and letting people, you know, see it, comment on it, add to the story with their comments, and just for them to share it too with their families and friends.
So two questions. One, you said you get a lot of the materials from archives, but what exactly is your process? Where do you actually get the materials and how do you get the materials?
I do a lot of visits to the Austin History Center, the Briscoe Center, the Benson Library. I've been to the Fine Arts Library before. I go to a lot of libraries just out of passion, you know, being a library nerd. But also knowing that these places have sort of gems related to Austin history that should belong in a collection, you know, should belong on display. You know, they're taken care of, they're housed properly, and they're stored, you know, in a safe way. But I feel like they're very out of reach to people that would recognize the images or that people that grew up with, you know, these places that were documented but, you know, aren't located. They aren't very accessible, for one thing. They're on campus and they're not in the neighborhood where they originated from. So it involves a lot of, you know, newspaper research into certain themes. Like, you'll find images of old East Austin and records related to, you know, sewage or street construction or records related to urban renewal projects. So that's an interesting part of the research too, is, you know, finding records of how the neighborhood changed back then in the 60s. So if a street was documented at all, it was because there was something planned there, like a road that would may or may not displace people's homes, or a construction project, the most famous being I-35. So a lot of documentation going on for that. It's an interesting record that took photos of what the neighborhood was like before, what the street was like. The businesses that were along the road that had to move were displaced because of this construction project. So it's very hard to find something, just one folder that satisfies all of that. There's not just one folder that's the best collection of working class history of Austin, you know. I wish it existed, but, you know, I just have to pull from newspapers and have a date in mind and somehow stumble upon an image of a protest going on related to Cesar Chavez marching in Austin, or knowing that if I look in these records, I may find an old advertisement from the barbecue restaurants that existed, you know, on East 11th Street decades, generations before a place like Franklin's Barbecue or some of the more famous businesses, you know, showed up on the east side. So it's scattered all over the archive, really, just these little gems of old Austin.
The final question concerning the Instagram is, what's been the response? How have people reacted or like I said, responded to these posts?
People are really interested in it. It was a surprise. I mean, I've just had a really good friend of mine as my only helper to just pull it off in a very amateur way. But I feel like a respectful way too is maybe what drew some people. The surprise really for me has been the long time, you know, like fifth, sixth generation Austin families from these neighborhoods that have found the material, recognized, you know, their great grandfather in one of the videos, an interview of him, the dream of the page really that you post an image about an old bar, you know, an old cantina, like it's not there anymore. You look up the address and it's a condo, or you look up the address and it's kind of taken up by like a vacant lot and something else, a brewery. But people, you know, they'll post that's, oh, you know, that was my family's bar. That was my grandpa's bar. I grew up there, you know, and then they start asking for copies themselves, because that's the surprising thing is they don't own it before. That's something that UT, you know, has housed in an archive for many years, but the actual families, the descendants of the people in these images or documents weren't aware of it. So that's another joy, really, is just the response of people wanting copies of their own, wanting to share it with their family. I'm surprised that the press found out, too. You know, I would have never imagined that the press really cared. And I think that's the inspiration behind the page, too, knowing that, you know, I can't wait for KUT or, you know, the Statesman to do something really cool, like do some good digging on this history. Like, I want to find out about it on my own and just make space for it. So to hear from KVU News, KVU interviewed me about some research I did for an exhibit. I still don't know to this day how KVU found out, you know, how the Statesman found out, or a larger publication like Remezcla, you know, focusing on Austin. It's an honor. I think it's great that they're covering it, because it also gives it more exposure to Austin families to reach out and say, this is great, you know, here, I want you to share this image, you know, of my family, of the family business. So I'm constantly thrilled by just people's interest in the response.
And it's definitely great. Like, as someone who's seen it and just looked through it, it's like, usually when I'm on Instagram, it feels like a waste of time, but on your page, it's like I'm learning, and it's good, and it's important.
No, thank you. Thank you.
So in addition to that, you have another hat, and this is what I want to shift our conversation to. You are the recent co-curator for an exhibition that is currently being presented at the George Washington Carver Museum Cultural and Genealogy Center. The exhibition is entitled Juntos Together: Black and Brown Activism in Austin from 1970 to 1983. I've had the pleasure of attending the event. Can say it's also fantastic.
Thank you.
Can you describe the exhibit and how it came to be about?
Sure. So it came about, you know, I didn't know Rachel Winston, the co-curator, before. She's also an iSchool alum. She works at the Benson Library now. I think just through mutual friends of mine that knew Carrie Adams, the curator at the Carver Museum, and that knew Rachel, just put us in contact and said, you know, y'all would produce something really cool. You know, they knew about our work, and I think that it was just time to meet up, be friends, you know, first of all, get to know each other, and then brainstorm.
Can you quickly share who Rachel Winston is, or what's her role?
Yeah, she's the Black Diaspora archivist at the Benson Library. And she's kind of campus-wide, working with the Warfield Center, working with the Briscoe Center, giving talks at the iSchool too, teaching undergraduate classes. So she's, I mean, a legend also. She's, you know, she's the first Black Diaspora archivist here at UT, so it was also, I think, for me, feeling, you know, unworthy, or just still kind of in shock that, you know, I was chosen to produce this alongside, you know, someone really talented, you know, professional people who are super, they're down to earth, they're friends now. But I think knowing, okay, well, we can do this together, we'll help each other out. And we had in mind just a photography exhibit, something related to history that dealt with both communities, Black and Latino communities. And mainly because that was something that hadn't been explored before, we had both talked about how, you know, we were never really included or shown in solidarity with each other in an exhibit or even in history books. You know, it's always maybe 2 pages dedicated to the history of the Black community in Austin, and then separately 2 or 3 pages dedicated to the Mexican American community in Austin, but never talking about the intersections that were there, never talking about how oftentimes neighborhoods were integrated with Black and Mexican American residents way before we were allowed to buy property in, say, you know, white neighborhoods or attend white schools. So before desegregation, I mean, both communities got along. And I've heard stories from elders, too, about sharing recipes, going to the same schools, being neighbors and just learning Spanish with each other, picking up slang with each other. So it was, I think, just the best opportunity to create something that hadn't been done before and pull from, you know, UT resources and community resources, have it be at the Carver, which is a historic neighborhood, down the street from Keeling Middle School too, so an exhibit that would involve students. And I should mention that at the Carver Library, I had a tiny little exhibit. It was just a glass display of images from the neighborhood. Somehow that got a lot of response too from the press. KVU News came out to film it, a little glass display. And I think that was sort of the beginning of it, that the Carver Museum noticed it, that, okay, there is an interest in it at a very small scale. It'd be good to expand on it and involve Rachel, her expertise. And that's the beginning, yeah, of how we did it.
And that is Juntos Together, Black and Brown Activism in Austin, Texas, from 1970 to 1983. It's going to be an exhibition until April 6th, 2018. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out.
Yeah, no, thanks. It's there. It's free. I guess most importantly, free. A city-owned museum. So if you like East Side Pies, you know, just keep in mind that it's across the street from East Side Pies. So any visit to the Rosewood, you know, East Side Pies area should include a Carver Library visit or a visit to the museum.
I have one last question for you. Mm-hmm. You seem like a very DIY, do-it-yourself person. You take initiative. You see something that you'd like to see, and you just do it. You don't wait for an opportunity to arise. You just make your own opportunities. And what advice would you have to either fellow students or anyone else to just take initiative and start doing things?
That's a good question. Because I feel like I still deal with that too, I think, with other ideas or projects. You know, how do I do this? Is it possible? I mean, having friends is really important. I mean, good friends that, you know, will, people that will help you out, you know. So I guess that, just having people that will, you know, provide resources, or they'll just stick with you through the idea, help you, you know, like work on a project like that. I think just, and this is tough for me too, just not worrying what people say or judgments, you know, not worrying about haters online or anything. Because I feel like that would have gotten me down if I worried about, oh, what would the establishment say? You know, what would the institution say about this? This isn't proper, you know. Or, ooh, I'm not drawing on enough theory or like scholarly research, you know. Just something that if it feels right, I think, just not worrying about what maybe the professionals, what the serious people would say, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and it turns out in the end that they all loved it.
Yeah, which is strange, funny. I think just that, I mean, it is difficult, you know, especially just in Austin, you know, maybe sometimes there isn't a lot of support for these kind of projects, these themes, I feel like there's a certain idea of what should be considered. What is Austin, you know, or Austin should be known for this and that. And it leaves a lot of us out. So that whatever, you know, students that have an idea that they don't think will be supported, that, you know, people will show up, you know, people will support it. I mean, I always try and visit and support, you know, be in solidarity with other small projects online or, you know, small galleries and stuff that have the same spirit, have the same message, because I'm interested in it. And also just because I want to see more of that in Austin. So to, yeah, just to not worry if it'll just be out there and be alone, you know, an abandoned project, that the cool people will come through and support it.
And on that note, Alan, thanks again for joining us here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is great. Being the first student interviewed. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for sitting down with me and talking.
Sweet. If you see Alan around school, say hi. He's great. So a shout out again to Alan for the interview. Do say hi to him if you see him around school. He's not that bad. he's all right.
Yeah.
If you have something you want to talk about on the show, please email us at iSchoolWeeklyUpdate@gmail.com. We love talking to people and we want others to share their experiences.
So Kate, what are the weekend plans?
Well, this weekend, I actually have plans, which is pretty new, and I'm going to hang out with some friends, and we're going to watch an oldie but a goodie called Kung Fury, which is an indie 30-minute film that is kind of hard to describe but wonderful, and I really recommend it. It involves a Triceratops cop named Triceracop and a Kung Fu master rogue policeman, just to give an idea of what to expect. And there's a music video with David Hasselhoff also out there if you want to, you know, give it a look.
I want to share, because this reminds me, an old coworker of mine occasionally referees wrestling matches as a character she came up with called T-Ref. She wears a Tyrannosaurus Rex head.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she just refs in it.
That's wonderful.
It's the best. The iSchool Weekly Update is produced and hosted by Kate Golden and me. Our correspondent for this week was Peace Iuare. Music for each show is written and performed by Kate. Artwork for our show was created by me. Special thanks to Quinn Stewart, Sam Burns, our fellow coworkers here at the IT Lab, and of course, our guest for the week, Alan the Big Bambino Garcia. Each episode of the iSchool Weekly Update is produced at 1616 Guadalupe Street here in the IT Lab studios. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the iSchool Info Portal. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at iSchoolWeeklyUpdate@gmail.com. As always, I'm Rodrigo Leal.
And I'm Kate Golden. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you up next week.